Scripture reading this morning will be in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and then Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then to Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You may be seated. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for blessing us abundantly. Lord, for bringing us here together to worship you this morning. Lord, as we look at your word, we ask that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that you would convict us of sin. Lord, that you would correct the error in our thinking. Lord, that you would encourage us and motivate us, Lord, to serve you better. Lord, we just thank you for this time. I pray you would protect everyone from my sin, from my error, that you might bless as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last month, we recognized Brad as Coram Deo's first deacon, and I mentioned then that I would preach on deacons, and I will. But as I got to thinking about it, I thought, you know, it really makes good sense to first cover elders leading up to deacons. And so this week's message is God Cares for His Church, Part 1, through elders. And then next week will be God Cares for His Church, Part 2, through deacons. So next week, we will look at deacons. But this week, we'll look at elders. And this is not in any way an exhaustive study. This is more of an overview. Certainly, as I studied and went through here preparing for this sermon, it seemed more and more, I came upon more and more things that could be said that are not in this message. So we get done, I'm sure you will have thought of many things that I left out. But I trust that the Lord will use this in blessing you as he already has me in preparing. But elders are an authority that God has placed in the local church. And yet, you know, because of our sin, because of our rebellious nature, just like all other authorities in our life, there are times when we struggle to submit. There are times when we think, you know, we'd be so much better off without them. And yet, that is our pride speaking. That is not the case. The local church needs elders. Now, it's not my goal this morning in any way to elevate John or myself. But what I want to do is I want to make it more clear. I want you to be able to see a little bit more this morning of how much God loves his people. God loves his people. God cares for his church. You see, Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his church. And he has given his church under shepherds to care for his sheep. So may we keep this in mind as we go through here. Just how much God cares for his sheep. So as I mentioned before, this message won't cover everything, but I hope to answer a few basic questions. And this is the outline, four questions that I hope to answer. Number one, what is an elder? What is an elder? Number two, why does God give the church elders? Number three, what are elder responsibilities? And then number four, what are elder qualifications? So we'll begin with number one. What is an elder? Now, certainly we have all come from different backgrounds. We've all been involved in different churches. We've all had different experiences with different church leaders. And so we all come with a completely different mindset. Some, when they think of elders, they may think of one who is up front and center, leading the church each week. Others may think of elders as one who sits on an elder board, making decisions. Some may think, you know, an elder, they do everything in the church. And others may think of an elder and think, they don't really do anything in the church. And so, I understand that we all think of elders in a different way. We've all had different experiences. So what is an elder in the church? Now, a lot of these verses that we're going to cover, we're going to cover these verses time and time again because we're going to cover them when we look at the first question, and then we're going to cover some more when we look at the second question or the third question. So there will be some repetition in these verses, but let's begin with Acts 20. In Acts 20, Paul sent for the elders of the church. And starting in verse 28, I'll just read a few verses of what he said to them. He said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them." So here we see that an elder is an overseer. An elder is a shepherd for the church of God. So consider this these verses in seeking to explain what is an elder. Consider Paul's instruction here. The elders are to shepherd the church of God. They are to protect them from these savage wolves he mentions. Now, this is figurative language here. Understand, elders are not called to protect the church from angry, four-footed animals attacking and biting people. This is figurative language. You see, these wolves spoken of here are people who speak perverse things, drawing the disciples away from Christ and his church. Now, the point that I want to make here is that the elder is not a bodyguard protecting God's people from physical harm, but he is a soul guard protecting God's people from spiritual harm. God tells us in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So what is an elder? An elder is a spiritual leader, a spiritual shepherd. An elder's concern is for the souls of God's people. Also, secondly, what is an elder? I think it's important that I point out here that an elder in the local church is an official office. It is a recognized position of authority. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. And then in Titus 1, Paul instructs Titus to set in order what remains, and he is instructed to appoint elders in every city. So elders in the local church are designated men who have been recognized to hold that position. They have authority in the local church. Certainly, eldership is work, but it is not an unorganized, unofficial position. It isn't that just anyone who is blessing you and encouraging you and strengthening you spiritually is your elder. It isn't that whoever is speaking that week is your elder. But this is a recognized position in the local church. So an elder in a local church is an officially recognized man whose focus is on the spiritual welfare of the church. He is concerned for the souls of God's people. Number two, why does God give the church elders? Certainly, there are many reasons that God gives the church elders, but I will just point out two. First of all, God gives the church elders because we need elders. In many passages throughout Scripture, God's people are referred to as sheep. As sheep. Sheep need shepherds. And God's people need elders. You see, sheep are vulnerable animals. They need lots of care. Without a shepherd, they would be wandering astray, getting themselves into all kinds of trouble, being attacked and harmed constantly. A flock of sheep left without a shepherd would be in very bad shape. And the same is true for the church of God. Imagine the condition of local churches if there were no elders. Using an example from Scripture, we would be like immature children, following every new idea, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Certainly our sin would increase. Now certainly, you know, we hate to think of ourselves as being vulnerable. I mean, you know, we would like to think that some people would be affected. You know, some people, you know, the weaker Christians, they might be affected if we didn't have elders. But not me. I mean, I would be just fine. But that's not the case. God gives His church elders because His church needs elders. We are more vulnerable and more prone to sin than we think we are. So God gives His church elders because His church needs elders. And the second reason is closely related. God gives His church elders because He loves His people. You remember in Acts 20:28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." You see, these sheep are God's sheep. He loves us. He did not go to the cross. He did not shed His blood and lay down His life just to turn around and abandon us to the wolves. No, He continues to care for His sheep. He loves us so much that He purchased us by dying on the cross for us. And then He continues caring for us. You see, He doesn't want us to go this alone. Unfortunately, there are Christians who fall into this idea that I don't need the church. I don't need the church. I don't need shepherding. It's a dangerous place to be. It's not what God teaches. So He gives us each other. He gives us the local church. And He gives the local church elders to shepherd, to care for His people. And He raises up from within the local church overseers to care for His people. Do you see how much God loves His people? Praise God that He gives us elders. Now, just to clarify, God does not need elders in order to accomplish caring for His people. Okay, I'm not trying to elevate elders at all. But this is the means that God has set up and that God works through by which He cares for His church. God has chosen to work through elders in the local church to continue to love and bless and care for those that He loved so much He died for. So why does God give the local church elders? Because the local churches need shepherds. They need elders. God loves his people so much. He gives us what we need. God gives us good gifts. So number three, what are elder responsibilities? Certainly there are many, but first of all, the elders are responsible to protect the sheep. To protect the sheep. Acts 20, 28 through 30. We see there Paul's instructions for the elders to protect the sheep. Elders are shepherds. They are responsible to protect God's people. Now, I want to point out one detail here. If you look in Acts 20, 28, you notice that Paul does not jump right in and say, "Be on guard for the flock." He doesn't say that. Notice first he warns, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock." You see, elders are not some superhuman creatures that do not sin, that have no spiritual weakness, that they cannot be harmed. You see, elders are sheep as well. And so they need to guard themselves and guard each other as well as the flock of God. And this is just one of many reasons that plurality of elders is so important. So we see here in Acts that this protection is at least twofold. Okay, this protection is not only protection from danger coming from outside the church, but also from within. And remember, these are spiritual attacks he's speaking of. These wolves are vicious people who are speaking perverse things. They're lying. They're twisting the truth. They will destroy unity in the church. They will try to draw some of the sheep away from the church of God, away to follow them. Certainly, we recognize persecution from outside the church. We understand pretty easily that there will be attacks from outside the church, but understand they can also come from within. We must not be surprised when we find people within the local church trying to destroy it. You see, the reality is that the local churches are filled with people who love Christ and love his church, but also with people who hate Christ and want to destroy his church. So elders have the responsibility to protect the church from these attacks, from people who would be false teachers, or from anything that would be harmful to the souls of God's people. Elders not only have the responsibility to protect the sheep from harm, but also they have the responsibility to provide nourishment for their souls. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I'm going to read it again. "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Elders have the responsibility to feed the sheep spiritual food. We all need to be fed. We need to be built up. We need to grow in our knowledge of the Son of God. And we see here in Ephesians that the goal here is that God's people would grow into maturity, that we would be well grounded, understanding good doctrine and theology, so that we will not be easily deceived, that we might not be led astray, that we would be strong Christians, that we would be equipped for serving the Lord. You see, when sheep feed on lush green grass, they're healthy, they're stronger. And when Christians feed on the Word of God, they are strengthened and built up. You see, we are nourished by the Word of God, by the faithful preaching of His Word, that we might be stronger and healthier Christians, better equipped and better prepared to serve Christ with our life. So the elders' responsibilities are to guard and protect the church from spiritual attacks, to provide spiritual food from the Word of God, to nourish and strengthen the souls of God's people. And number four, what are elder qualifications? Now, before we read these qualifications in Timothy and in Titus, I first want to speak of how we should view these qualifications. Because oftentimes there can be error on both sides of viewing these qualifications. First of all, we recognize that Jesus Christ is the perfect shepherd. He is the perfect shepherd. And that no man on earth is going to be a perfect shepherd. There are no perfect elders here. And so, as we look at the qualifications, don't look at this list and think, this is an impossible list. And so, these are the qualifications. So, we just can't have any elders. No man perfectly matches up. So we just can't have any elders. That is not the point of this list. But at the same time, we can't look at this list and say, wow, you know, nobody really matches up. And so, you know, we can just let anybody be an elder. I mean, you know, it's just a compromise the whole way through. So anybody who wants to be, you can be an elder. We cannot disregard this list. This is very important. Very important. You see, God does not want just anyone leading His people. And so He gives us elder qualifications. Let's begin in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then also, Titus 1, 5 through 9. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Excuse me. Certainly there are many qualifications here. This is a long list. And I'm not going to go through this list one by one. But I want to point out three points of emphasis here in these qualifications. First, an elder must be an exemplary Christian. He must be a good example. Secondly, he must be a caring manager to manage God's people. And three, elders must be men of the word. So first, an elder must be an exemplary Christian. No, he's not a perfect man, but the righteousness of Christ working in him must be evident in his life. It's not enough to have a good profession. There must be evidence of Christ working in his life. He must be a good example of one following Christ. You see, a man who lives a sinful lifestyle, who is unfaithful to his wife, ignorant of the truth, who lacks self-control, who has a foolish heart, who is greedy, or who is a drunk, is not fit for the office of overseer. He cannot hold the position of elder in the local church. The shepherd of God's people must be a good example of a Christian. Again, he cannot just make a profession of faith and be qualified. There must be evidence of this faith working out in his life. So an elder must be an exemplary Christian. Second, an elder must be a caring manager, not a self-willed tyrant. We see here the best way to tell what type of shepherd a man will be is to look at his family. Look at how he cares for his family. Does he manage his household well? Are his children under control? If a man is a poor husband and a lousy father, then he has no business being an elder, taking care of God's children. If he won't care for his own children, he certainly will not care for God's. So an elder must be a caring manager. Number three, an elder must be a man of the word. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. An elder must be a man of the word. He must know the scriptures. He must know and understand good doctrine. He must know the Lord and know what God teaches. You see, elders cannot lead the church wherever they want to lead it. But we have to lead the church where God leads the church. And so we must know the scriptures. We must know the word. Also, elders must have sound doctrine. We need to be able to explain why this is the direction Christians should go. We can't just say, this is what you need to do. We need to be able to explain. Sheep will have questions. Many people will have questions. And there will be opposition. And so the elders need to know the word to be able to correct error and point out why this is right and why that is wrong. So elders must be exemplary Christians, displaying well what it is to follow Christ. Elders must be caring managers, men who care well for all those under their protection already. And elders must be men of the word, men who know God's word well, who do not lead the flock astray, but lead them constantly to live holy lives and to follow Jesus. So in conclusion, I hope that you can see a little bit more of how much Christ loves the church. God loves His people. He has blessed us abundantly. The Christian life is not a life of solitude. And when we're saved, that's not the end of all our problems. We need the church. We need each other. We need shepherds. Praise God. He provides for His people. Do you understand how much God loves His people? That He would lay down His life for His sheep. And then He continues to care for us. He cares for us. He gives us each other. And through our relationships, we are encouraged to press on, to continue following Christ. And praise God, He's given us elders in the local churches to shepherd, to protect us. We need protected, not just from the outside, we need protected from ourselves. God loves His church. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Lord, thank You so much for loving us. Lord, we confess that so often we don't think we need half of the blessings You give us. Lord, oftentimes we don't even see them as blessings. And yet, Lord, You are blessing us. You are caring for us. Lord, we thank You that You care so much for us, that You would die for us. And we thank You, Lord, that Your love for us does not end there, but You continue to care for us. Lord, we thank You for this local church. Lord, we thank you that this is not some institution of man, that this is not something John and I came up with, but this is your church. And Lord, we thank you that even though at times we don't think we need it, that you are protecting us, that you are shepherding us and caring for us. Lord, we thank you for the structure that you have given in the church. We thank you that you are at work and that you raise up elders from within your church to shepherd your sheep. Oh Lord, we are so blessed. We thank you and praise you. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful, that we would submit, that we would see the blessings of elders as a wonderful gift from you. In your perfect design for the local church. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us. May we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.